righteous land, if they live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's Articles of News for the week of the September 17th, 8th.
And Labor Day.
And it's part two of this episode. So
part two. Nobody likes the sequel.
No. Godfather 2.
Guess
if
what?
If you watch the rated
R
movies.
Favorite? You know what? Yeah.
The
my
most
favorite sequel.
Back to the Future 2.
Yes. And not anticipated, but one of my favorite sequels of all time, Crocodile Dundee 2.
Oh, jeez.
It was so good. It was like even better than the
no,
first
it was
one.
Not.
Oh, it was so good. I love Crocodile Dundee 2.
Articles of News 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, and Empire Strikes Back. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So you there. Know. There's three really great. You got the Indiana Jones. What was the
no,
second Indiana
no,
Jones?
That was,
what was the second Indiana Jones?
Mountain of Doom. What was it?
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Shiba.
Kalima. Kalima. It's Kalima.
That's way better than the first one.
Nope.
What
Sorry.
Was the first one?
First one was the Ark of the Covenant.
Is that Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
What's the third one?
With Sean Connery.
Yeah, but what was that one called?
Dad. That was the Holy Grail.
Yeah, but what was it called?
Search for the Holy Grail.
No, it wasn't. That's Monty Python, and that was the sequel.
Life of Brian.
No, that's the...
Wait.
That's the third one.
Indiana Jones?
No, Indiana Jones
the
and
third,
the Life of Brian.
Life of Brian. Yep.
Yes. It's DJ Rob. He's back. He's in town, and he's able to record an episode of Articles of News with us. Welcome, Rob.
And hey. I won't be here next week.
Which is why some people are wondering the reason for the two-part Articles of News, and it's two reasons.
Two reasons.
One, and I explained this already in the first episode, but maybe you're just catching it here in the second episode.
If you're just tuning in.
One is because I knew that since you hadn't been here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you'd have a lot that you wanted to talk about.
Oh, no, not really.
Not necessarily grocery store stories,
right.
but things that you wanted to share.
Since it's just been a long time, I do want to accept Hiram's apology. Thank you, Hiram.
There we go.
There
See,
you go.
So there's things like that that we're catching up on.
Okay.
But also, I have not been very good about posting episodes, the Friday episodes.
Okay.
So people will get, by the week's end, they'll get five new episodes of the Cultural Hall.
And then they'll be inundated and they'll be like, ugh.
No, it's pretty good. Coming up, so I posted this morning... episode 189, which is three different people. I just combined each person got a block. The first block is Darren Scott, who's directing a film about the Mormon Yankees, the basketball Mormon missionaries in Australia.
I remember we talked about that
forever
about a year ago.
They're making a movie about it.
Wow.
Then the second block of that
so
one.
So have you...
Have I...
Shamelessly
yep,
tried to
they're filming
plug...
it in Australia. So though I didn't shamelessly try to get in the film... I did ask for a prop from the set, and he's going to send it to me.
Did you talk about your scene in...
Nope, that's what I'll talk about for my news today. Then the second person is the interview with Nikhil Casador, who is a West Point student, woman. She'll be the first ever missionary to go out from West Point. Woman. There's been plenty of men, but the first woman sister missionary. And then the third block is a woman that is the Guinness Book of World Records record holder for the longest ongoing barbecue. And her name is Susie Bullock, and she has a blog called Hey Grill Hey.
Is it an event?
She did
what
it back
mean?
In she did
like
it she did it about a month ago. Barbecued for 38 hours straight in New York.
A woman.
Mm-hmm. Her and
you go,
another,
girl.
Her and another person. It's Hey Grill, Hey. Hey Grill, Hey.
Good for her.
She wants to make a job out of it, so check out her blog. And then episode 190, which we'll post right after I post this.
Did you get Hey Grill, Hey before Sisters and Zion got her? Did you scoop them?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
190 is Phil Lyman, the San Juan County Commissioner, who led the people on the ATV ride through Recapture Canyon, said, "You can't tell me where I can't ride."
And does he sound like I think he sounds?
No.
Okay.
No, he does not sound like how you think he sounds.
Okay.
So that's episode 190. And then this Friday, in time when it should post, is episode 191, which is also the first ever Cultural Hall book club episode where we sit down with Gerald Lund.
Mm.
And just Joni does the interview, and I kind of throw in comments throughout here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all about the big announcement, which October 8th at Sandy City Library at 6 p.m. There will be a talk around a book club meeting. October 8th, 6 p.m. It's a Thursday night, 6 to about 8. And we'll have music from Jessica Freck. She's going to come play a couple acoustic songs in the middle of it. So how about that?
Excellent.
So are you guys going to get in a circle and talk about the book?
Well, there will be panelists. See, I'm not very familiar with this whole book club thing. I just kind of came up with the idea. It's just Joni's baby, and she'll have six panelists who will talk about what the book is about, the issues that come up in the book, what they liked about the book, what they didn't like about the book, and hopefully Elder Lund, because he is of formerly of the Second Quorum of the 70, will be there to talk with people as well, to answer questions.
I stepped in for a moment and saw that part where he talked about being a part of the Second Quorum of the 70.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's pretty fascinating.
All right, so you've been to DJ camp.
Yep, no, just DJ convention.
No, it's DJ
camp. And Kyle's like, oh, he goes all the time. It's twice a year, and they're two separate DJ conventions.
But it seems like a lot for a DJ camp. That's like going to summer camp twice a year, isn't it?
No.
Tell me the difference.
Well, you know, we got Mobile Beat, which is in March, February, and then we got Las Vegas DJ Show, which is in September. Mobile Beat has been established for about 20 years, and then the Las Vegas DJ Show is part of the American Disc Jockey Association, for those who don't care. And and that one was started about 5 years ago. And so this one, the last one I went to was Las Vegas DJ Show, and that was at Planet Hollywood.
Do the two camps hate each other?
Kind of.
Yeah?
Really?
You went to Mobile Beat? Oh, I'd never go to Mobile Beat.
Well, there's a lot of crossover. People go to both.
Sure.
But there are some people who are like, I'm only going to Mobile Beat. There are some people, I'm only going to Las Vegas DJ Show. The Las Vegas DJ Show was started by the president of the American Disc Jockey Association. So he has...
Casey Kasem?
No. His name is Hugo Drax, who is actually a Mormon.
Shut up!
Should we get him on
Why
the podcast?
Why have we never talked to Hugo Drax?
And the thing is, that's not his real name, but that's his DJ name.
What's his real name?
I forget.
It's like...
Way back up. His DJ name is what?
Hugo Drax.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he got that. They called him Dr. Drax because he looks like the villain from Moonraker. That's not the how the song goes,
no,
but...
that isn't how that song goes. Wow,
wow,
wow. Missing you in time.
But yes, he's a Mormon. That's we should get Drax on the phone.
I'm sure his name is like Brent Christensen.
No, it's he's I swear he's got like a female name.
His name is Terry Lindsay.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's like Terry something. Yeah. I forget his name.
His name is
Sorry, Dr. Drax. I don't know your real name.
Oh, he's a doctor.
Dr.
Self-awarded doctorate in DJing.
But yeah.
Oh my.
But those Mobile Beat.
Yeah, the American Disc Jockey Association president is a Mormon.
Cool.
Down in Phoenix.
Do you hope to aspire to a presidency?
I don't really want to have that mantle on me. Kind of like I don't want to be a bishop ever.
Right. Ever.
Never.
Ever.
But he's given me the opportunity to present at the convention.
And?
I did not present this
Why not?
Year.
Lazy? Too no. much going on? Didn't feel like it? Nothing new to contribute?
All three of those, but I also got cut because there wasn't enough space for everybody.
Mm.
And so
it's very popular.
So I just did a round table. I had a bunch of people come in and I presented and talked about kids events.
He gets up and goes, "This is a round table. Now when you do an event, you can have a round table.
You can put a Lazy Susan in the middle.
You can have a square table, rectangle table."
I like the round table.
Yeah.
You got your standard 2x6. That's industry standard.
It's just 5. It's just 5 all the way around because it's round.
Yeah. So there's 2 conventions a year, and then I also go to trainings on top of that, too.
Because you get your certification.
Yeah, through other DJs, but there's really no certification.
Right.
It's just like, hey, I went and trained for this other DJ.
I spent money with this guy.
Exactly. Yep. But I still feel cool about it.
Cool. No, what I'm disappointed about, though, is that up in your office here at the house of the party,
yeah,
that they aren't framed and put on the wall like a PhD or like a doctor's certificate.
I could do a couple of those.
No, you should.
Okay, I will.
Because then when you do your consultations, when you actually clean your office, you can come in and people can be like, there's certificates in this
wow,
stuff?
Wow, look at this.
Yeah, I have my Wedding Wire Award on the mantle.
I saw the one on your... Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Wedding Wire Award.
Actual mantle.
It's the Wedding Wire Award.
It's for Wedding
couple's
Wire.
Couple's choice.
Yeah. Yep. So... Yeah.
Single people, not his favorite choice, but couple's choice. Mm-hmm. What else?
So it was a fun conference. The reason I like the American Disc Jockey Association conference better is the camaraderie. There's a lot of guys that I've become friends with, and I felt like there were a lot more hugs going around this time around.
Well, sure, with
less
Hugo
egos.
In charge.
Yeah, with Hugo in charge.
Is this the bigger of the two?
No, it's the smaller one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
MB,
more intimate.
MB is
but
way
it's
bigger
growing.
Than Adjack.
It's growing. It's growing. Yeah. And the keynote speaker, Michael Buffer.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
He was great.
They paid him $20,000 to go
to
there and do that.
Exactly. But no, he was great. Just because building a brand for yourself.
Sure.
From, you know, kind of making a name for yourself. And yep. That's what he did.
Come up with a great idea and then sue the crap out of people.
And that's what, he trademarked it and everything. Yeah. So, but
for
yeah.
people that don't know, that Let's Get Ready to Rumble is trademarked and he yep. charges to use it yep. big time.
A lot.
Yeah, and he talked about how he made that up and kind of how that formulated and stuff. That was fun. So
did he say, well, I didn't make it up. Is that how he explained how he made it up?
I guess so. Yeah, he said this is how it came about, oh, okay. I guess. And he talked about how it formed.
One day, Brother Drax and I, we were walking in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Knocking doors when inspiration came from above.
Yeah. So
Brother
that was
Drax,
pretty much it.
I said. Sorry.
Yeah.
Does the wife, because the wife goes to the DJ conference with you?
Yes. Because she likes going to Vegas.
Because she works for you.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah. But she didn't come to any sessions this
year. I wondered if she just was
because
like, cool, Vegas, see ya.
Her sister was here and her husband, and so they just did the whole Vegas thing.
Nice.
Walked up and down the strip and we went to a buffet and went to outlet malls and sightsaw.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Do you like Vegas?
Yes.
Do you?
We have a good time there. We know.
Do you like Vegas?
I have been there one time.
And?
I don't know. I mean,
it's fun.
Who cares?
Yeah, you like it.
Oh, yeah. I have a great time.
I loathe it.
Yeah, I have a good time.
I mean, maybe if I was doing stuff all during the day, but like when I've been there, it's been for the express purpose to vacation in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
and I hated it.
Well, you know, it can be very annoying being on the strip, being around all these like 20-somethings in the pool with their shirts off, hooting and hollering.
Right.
There's ways to get around that.
Yeah, like going to see a show, sure.
We go to see a show, we stay in 5-star hotels.
Yeah.
Not all the time. We find
right.
like
usually
really
get
good,
a night and then
yeah, we get a night and we stay at a 5-star and you go to the pool and there's like no kids, there's just
right.
like
oh, that sounds
real
great.
People there. And not like, you know, 20-somethings. Yeah. And so it just depends. You can find stuff there, but I can understand why people hate it.
Right, because I don't gamble and I don't drink, and
right.
I know you don't gamble or drink either.
I
or
don't
presumably.
Drink.
You do a lot of the gambling?
Yeah.
Do you pay? Let me ask you this. You score big. Do you pay tithing on your big winnings?
I've never scored big.
No?
What's scoring big? That's relative.
I don't know. Making any money, I always lose.
Well, I made money this time.
Hey, it's your name tonight.
I only play. I have like rules and stuff, and
okay.
I just it's recreational.
Nice.
For me, it's not. Like every time I won like 2 or 3 hands, and then I would just walk away from the table.
Nice.
And people
okay.
would be like, why are you leaving? I'm like, I'm on top. See you later, suckers.
This so, is paying yeah. for my buffet.
Let's say I made more than $100.
More than 100 and less than 1,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else then? Anything else?
Anything else?
Yeah.
Just weddings, weddings, weddings. And then next week I'll be at Las Vegas for the Wedding MBA conference.
What is that?
Whoa.
That's for wedding professionals and vendors.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Yeah.
We're going to have to tell me more about that later.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like,
it's
nobody
really
in Utah
weird
goes.
Why Kyle
I go.
Would think that you're there every other weekend
yeah.
for a convention.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
So he's there every other weekend. Rob's got a gambling problem.
Huge. It's huge.
And he disguises it.
The gambling convention.
Is there another DJ convention down here?
DJ Sue Gamble.
Yeah. DJ Sue. Mormons who gamble.
Brother Drax.
Exactly.
And his addiction recovery, which we'll talk about here in a minute.
Okay.
As part of articles and news with that
yeah.
addiction recovery.
And if something comes to me, I'll let you know, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. We'll get to you. What's new with you?
We got to hear about Provo's awesomeness again.
Uh-huh.
You got to talk all about it.
I know. We talked last time about
Provo Elite.
About how Provo is such a lame place to live. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you over the free Cascade concert.
Oh, and the
Friday
Google
night.
Fiber.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, right?
And the
Ryan
MLMs.
Radden. Brother Ryan Radden was the...
Who is Cascade?
Cascade.
People don't know that. I don't
Ryan
think.
Radden.
They don't know that his name is Ryan Radden.
No.
Really? Then they're not actual Cascade fans.
Whoa. Wow. Oh, throw the gauntlet. Jeez.
Cascade.
How many people? I saw pictures and it looked like it was just crazy.
It was just crazy.
How much? How many?
I don't know.
10,000?
I don't know.
More than 20?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. More than 100.
More than 100,000?
Just like Rob.
More than 100 and less than 1,000.
No, more than
1,000. And it was part of the rooftop series.
Rooftop concert series, yeah.
Not on top of a rooftop.
Correct.
On top of a blacktop. Where was it?
Inappropriately named.
It was on Center Street and 100 West, which is right in front of the New Skin building, which is the other temple that the actual temple is being built in the shadow of.
Because the New Skin building is taller than the Provo Temple Nacle, or as we like to call it, Lex Di Azevedo's mistake.
His newest production.
His inspired mistake.
Yeah.
So how was the concert? Was it awesome?
It was so awesome.
How early did you get there?
I got there probably... It was supposed to start at 7:30.
Yeah.
It ends at 10:30 because I don't know if there's an official noise ordinance or if it's just the...
It's just respectful.
The people... I mean, there's a Marriott hotel right there.
Yeah.
So, super lame. It was great. There were a couple of opening bands and...
Do they do Eyes?
Yes.
And did, what's her name?
She wasn't there. She's in
New York. Mindy Gledhill?
Yeah, Mindy Gledhill's in New York right now, so she wasn't there.
What about Becky Swanson? Was she there?
I don't know.
She's one of the ones that travels around with them as well.
Oh, I don't know.
Went to high school with her.
Oh.
I have never seen, like, a DJ perform like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does he talk in between stuff, or does he just play music?
He plays music.
There's his testimony.
He plays music. He did a couple of times have to slow it down just to the very basic beat and say... All right, guys, seriously, take a step back. The people up here on the right side are getting crushed.
Oh, really? Good for him.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where I started, actually, on that very side, and I was getting pushed so much.
You were in the front?
Yeah, but then I got pushed to the front.
Oh.
And then after the first song was done, just by myself.
And you made some friends.
Close Provo personal friends.
I saw some friends.
Yeah, that's crazy.
On dates. So
just threw that in
they
there.
They were all. Listen, I tried, pal.
I know. That's fine.
I would have gone.
Well, you're all invited to all my things all the time. Okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But it must have been fun. Was it cool?
It was really cool.
Did you get a picture with him? I tried to interview him, and there was no access to him. I went three different ways to try and get at him.
No, he was... His weekend in Provo was booked.
And then we want to get the update on your daughter... I don't want to rub it in or anything. Did she get asked to prom?
She did not get asked to homecoming.
Homecoming. Oh.
But she did get asked to prom, which is
She didn't.
No,
not
but
yet.
Nope.
Yes, early. And...
Yeah, thank you.
No, so she didn't. I think she went to a party instead for people who didn't go to homecoming.
Good for them.
She was...
Where'd she go to school?
Not home this weekend.
Arm high?
No, Provo. Bulldog.
Provo high. She's a bulldog.
Bite
bulldog.
Your tongue.
Arm. She's not a tiger.
She's a pro-high bulldog.
She's on the other side of the river.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. The tracks.
You want to talk about Orem Tigers? That's coming up with Janae Manette.
No, I'm not an Orem Tiger.
No, you're a Mountain View caveman. What are you?
Oh, gosh.
Mountain lion.
Oh, and you want to talk about that, too?
Okay.
All right.
Briefly.
Okay.
I felt inspired Saturday that I should make the trek to Salt Lake City on Sunday morning to go to, once again, Music and the Spoken Word. It's the second time in about a month's time that I've done it. And
for those who don't know, in London, Music and the Spoken Word is on Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah, it's a Mormon Tabernacle Choir. It's a half-an-hour program. It's the longest-running radio program in the United States.
And it's downtown Salt Lake City.
It's broadcast throughout the world. Currently, the
From the
spoken,
Crossroads of the West.
Currently, the Spoken Word is
actually, the Crossroads of the West is like Kansas City.
No,
but.
It's here.
Professor Newell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Professor Newell, Dr. Newell, he's been doing it for...
I did.
I did, too.
Wow. Are
you in the same class? No, you're
love
a baby.
Him.
Okay.
No, she's 10 years younger.
Yeah. 10? Just 10?
Just 10.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Rub it?
Yep.
Rubbing it in.
You are?
You're 25, aren't you?
Sure. We can say that.
Okay. 20.
And then you're 35, right? Mala Jenny?
Mm-hmm. Mala Jenny.
That's great. And he's been doing, this is his 25th year. He began in 1990. And this week it was in the Tabernacle rather than in the conference center. I don't know why they do that. But
I thought it was always in the Tabernacle except for when it's general conference.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, no, and I thought it was always in the conference center. I'll ask, ask my sources. Hmm. But I went there and tried to arrange a Cultural Hall field trip. Didn't work out so well, but it was last minute. They sang one of my very favorite songs. I got very, very emotional about it. But afterwards, before I drove home to Provo, I had to visit the bathroom. So I went over to the North Visitor Center on Temple Square. There are two visitor centers.
Mm-hmm.
And
one on the north and one on the south.
Yeah. And so the north, they're on the one of the walls of the main level of the North Visitor Center. There is a series of pictures of Jesus Christ as portrayed in the Bible videos. One of my favorite things was asking a sister missionary, where's the restroom? And she indicated to the wall and she said, follow Jesus Christ and choose the right.
She did
that's,
not.
That's how she directed
me
to the bathroom.
That's hilarious.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
But
choose the right.
Follow Jesus Christ and choose the right. Thanks.
Oh boy.
But
for men, Satan on the left.
Yeah. if you look there, right, that's outer darkness and then right around.
But I haven't been in that visitor center for years, and I walked
Which
in.
Which one, north or south?
The north.
Either, but
okay.
The north is where I was. And,
okay.
And I walked in, and I was so excited because one of the panels mm-hmm. of Jesus's, of the experiences from the scriptures of Jesus's life was when he was in the temple teaching young Jesus. I was in that Bible video and I'm in that picture.
Stop it.
Yeah.
The Molly back, Mormon.
The,
what?
The back of my head.
Yeah. That's
it's
exciting.
Right there.
I want to see the back of your
you
head.
You can totally tell it's the back of her head.
It's on. Well, it's right here on my Instagram account and I can send it to Anna if you'd like.
Absolutely.
And
that is the back of your head.
Yeah. And when I put
didn't
it on,
you see the hashtag?
That is the best
hashtag
back of head.
Yeah. Rob created a hashtag. He's super into hashtags.
Yeah.
Only because of you.
I know.
That is.
And so
I'm so jealous that you, the back of your head is right there.
Well, thanks. And so
it's cool.
But when I posted on Facebook, I also posted a link to the actual video so that you
she
can
needs
see
to be in these
me.
Movies. You know,
you're really
because you're ethnically vague.
Ethnically vague.
Yeah. Or yeah. What was the other one? Racially ambiguous.
Yeah, racially ambiguous or ethnically vague.
Yeah, there's a lot of us in there.
That's good. She could totally do that.
Did we cover it all?
Yeah, we did.
Because we got Janaymanite, so now we got to hear 25 minutes.
How she has this Band-Aid on her
I'm gonna
arm.
I'm going to be really quick.
Elbow. What
I'm
happened
be
here?
Really
elbow.
Quick with no details of any of my stories.
No, you can give details.
Bleeding head.
Last week I went to Powell. Tomorrow I'm going to Florida. And
what?
I almost died over the weekend.
Whoa.
Okay, so you got to give us a little bit of details. Lake Powell was just
did you almost die in Lake Powell?
No.
Oh.
Lake Powell was without the kids, down with some friends. So much fun.
Without
so fun.
The kids.
Yeah. Without the
that's
kids.
Water skiing. And
I'm nervous enough myself around open water. Like, I'm not terribly comfortable with all the water sports and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of taking our kids down was just...
Because your kids are three and...
they're tiny, yeah.
Yeah,
year
no
and
point.
Half, so.
Good for you.
So no for that. So they hung out with my parents in mm-hmm. Orem. And then tomorrow we go to Florida for my husband's family reunion.
Cool. Is he from Florida?
No, his sister lives in Florida right now. So
where in Florida?
Tampa.
Oh,
so we're gonna spend the first day of the trip at Disney World. So I need to ask you all about.
Yeah,
I think we're.
I'll give you some. I'll give you some tips.
All the little grandkids are. Very, very young. My oldest is the oldest. So I think we're just going to stick to Magic Kingdom.
Cool.
Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom would be fun for them.
That's what everybody has suggested, but we're thinking, I guess, apparently the parks are far enough apart that it would kind of take a while to travel. You know,
well, it's about a 15-minute drive between the Animal
Kingdom.
Well,
you just got a day. So you just spent a day.
So it's just one day?
It's the one day.
So just one day Magic Kingdom. That's all you got.
One day. And okay.
Just. Do it.
Yeah. And I want to hear all your tips and tricks and such.
Okay.
Because you're Mr.
First tip.
World, Disney World.
First tip?
What?
What is my first tip?
Fast passes. Well, how old are your kids?
They're young. The oldest child is four, is just barely turned four. And then we've got a couple 3-year-olds and a couple 18-month-olds. So
I'm pretty sure there's an app for lines. I don't know which one to use, but. Look it up.
Okay.
And Disney World now does the wristbands. Those are awesome. Get your fast pass on a wristband.
Oh, yeah. That's
they're
fancy.
Awesome. That way you can sign up for your 3 fast passes when you first get there.
Yeah. That's fancy.
Yeah, and I think it's like an additional cost, though. It's like
is it?
I think so.
We stayed on property, so we got them for free.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah, we're cool.
I've never been. I'm so excited.
Oh, good. You'll love it. Yeah, Magic Kingdom.
Excited to go. I've never been. I got a job there when I was in college.
Huh? Were you going to be Pocahontas?
They hired me to be Jasmine, but the contract was too long.
You're Pocahontas Jasmine right there. You don't even have, like, your hair. You didn't even have to wear a wig.
Wait, why didn't you do it?
The contract was too long.
Did you have to get married?
What? No.
Oh, I mean,
no. Was it a summer contract?
I was like 18, 19. No, it was a minimum of a year.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. And thinking back now, it's like, really? I should have just done that.
You should have.
What a great experience. When I was only 18,
yes, you should have. You would have enjoyed it.
Those will be regrets as you get older.
I felt good about not taking it when I was...
Put it on the list.
Instead, she stayed at the hospital with a gentleman with a burnt bum.
Aww.
Old burn bum.
So how'd you almost die?
It didn't even work out.
And then how,
yeah.
I wrecked on my bike over the weekend.
Did you wreck your bike?
I saw a little bit. That was very dramatic.
Did you damage your helmet?
No. Mm-mm. No, I did not.
You see her wound? Come on.
What's the wound?
I'm pretty banged up.
Is this the elbow?
I got my arm all scraped up. My hand is, that doesn't look too bad anymore. My hand's all scraped up. I got the gears like sliced into my leg right here. And my knees all cute.
Was this a recreational or on a race?
So
what were you doing?
So our tri club was gonna go and climb all 7 canyons in Salt Lake County. Mm-hmm.
So this happened on tricycles.
So this, yes, yeah. Yes, okay. Exactly.
There's a bike club, and then there's a tri club.
Okay.
The bike club's entirely different.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, Richie, you're so funny.
So were you like downhill going? Or?
Well, it was, so backing up, on Saturday, I got my very first set of pedals. Like fancy bike pedals. Good.
Where you clip in.
And where you clip in with your special shoes.
Then you have to, fall.
So you're going to fall. Mm. So Saturday, I spent forever putting the stupid cleats on the bottom of the shoes and then figuring out how this whole clipping in and out situation works. So I'm holding myself up against my house on the grass, like, oh, here's the grass. I'll be fine. And I'm practicing. And then I just fall into the side of the house with like lovely stone siding, like scraping me up. That was great. And then I rode around the back of my house, and instead of falling on the grass again, I fell on our stone patio.
Oh.
So good times there.
And that's how this happened?
So I'm already bruised up.
Oh, okay.
And so then, so that was Saturday. So then it's Monday, Labor Day, we go and do this big long ride, and I was like, oh, I'm totally going to tip over again and embarrass myself in front of all of the incredibly, you know, professional people in
your
our
tries.
Club. All those my try friends. Mm-hmm. And luckily that didn't happen. But as we came down a little hill, not a hill, it was a street that was inclined. So I wasn't going incredibly fast. But at the bottom of this hill, there's a big, like, construction hole.
Yes.
Not like a pothole. But a beautiful construction hole that was just left out there. There's
like
no cones.
Like no manhole
There's
cover?
No. It
like
was
they were
like,
digging in the road, kind of.
They dug up the asphalt. So there's like gravel all around it. And then there's just a hole that's like down to the dirt where there's just dirt and rocks. And so there's a couple people in front of me, and I'm following them closely enough that I can't see the hole right off. Mm-hmm. But they all are like, blah, 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 the hole, and blah. But as soon as they move, I see all the gravel, so I'm in my good, solid bracing position.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see this hole, and I hit directly into the hole. So, yeah, down into this kind of deep hole. So it was almost as if I hit a wall, like... smack into the hole, and I stop instantly, and then I tip over because I can't unclip my pedals. And it was probably fast enough that even if I was able to, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, put my foot out.
So front rim wrecked.
Or anything. Luckily, my bike seems to be fine. I did another 2 hours of riding after that, so that was good.
For you.
Jeez.
So my bike seems to be okay, although I did realize, I think I broke it a little bit. I bent it when I was just tipping over at my house. So I've got to go get that fixed, but it was sufficient enough for this long ride yesterday. I can't change my gears.
Mm-hmm.
I had to stay in one of my same rings the whole time. Whatever. I don't. Kyle would be embarrassed hearing me attempt to explain parts of bikes.
He's just yelling.
He's just like, goodness.
So essentially a fixie then, or a fixed, right?
What?
Because you couldn't. Isn't that what they call them?
No,
you can't change gears.
So one
fixies?
Of the Okay. I heard that term either. One, I could change gears on my back ring, my back cassette. I know that word. But I couldn't change rings on my front wheel set.
Okay.
Because maybe that's a cassette too. Okay. I'm not sure.
Your story, so, but I'm on board.
Anyway, I hit a hole. I fell over. I got all sorts of torn up. It was great. It was kind of a solid, awful wreck. And there's like cars coming up behind us like, are you okay? Is everything okay? Oh, my goodness. I had the two people in front of me stopped. And my friend that was behind me obviously saw the whole thing and stopped and helped me out.
Did you cry?
But I did not cry. And I was able to just get up and be like, oh, that hurt. That was, ugh. But other than being all torn up and whatnot, I didn't break anything. I'm so grateful. I didn't break anything. I didn't even break my bike, you know, to the point of not being able to keep
just
going.
Nasty scars
it
and bruises.
It was just lovely. It just was blood. Not even that
just
much blood.
Blood.
Her elbow is a little tender. Mercy.
Elder Bednar would.
I was listening. I was trying to figure out. I swear there's like a Mormon hymn or like where it's, at the end it goes, try again.
Really?
It's a
primary hymn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to have to find that and share it with my club.
Exactly.
Rory, you'd love that.
Do or do not.
That's the president.
There is no try.
Okay, so two things, and then we'll take a break and we'll come back with second half and do the articles of news. First thing, and I'll share a picture. What do you have?
Jesus once was a little child.
Yeah.
That's yes. The song.
What?
Yes. Try. Yeah. I was in a movie last week, which was kind of fun. Filmed my part in Saturday's Warrior, the 2016 motion picture.
Does it take place in like the 70s?
It takes place in the 70s.
Wow.
And I'll share my picture with Anna.
Tell
so she puts
costume.
It up on Instagram. No, people can go check it out. Follow us on Instagram at
no,
the Culture.
That's it. Try to be like him. Try.
Yep.
There you go.
So people can check out the costume there. It was cool, just like we've talked about with a lot of these people, and like I talked about in the episode.
Where were you, Liberty Park?
Lex D'Azevedo and Michael Buster, the director, at Liberty Park.
I was right.
Showed up at 6:30 in the morning for my 6:45 call time. Didn't do my part until 1:30. Oh,
okay. That's making a movie.
Yep.
You know it.
But one line, got it done.
What'd you say?
Killed it. My line, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Go.
Man,
wait,
short.
Shh. Nope.
Quiet on set.
What are you doing here?
Scene. Good.
Yep. Thank you.
And he's like, I came from my heavenly father.
No, you'll see what part I'm in. And hopefully, from people that were on set and people that have now seen it in reviewing of it, they say it's really hilarious. So if you check it
congratulations.
Out. I play Jogger. In Saturday's Warrior 26.
Not Jogger number one, not Dabra number two.
Nope.
Jogger.
And then the second thing, and I only bring this up because I have been racked with torment about this for the last 24 hours. I received a text message yesterday from a woman in my ward who said, hey, I would really like you to fill in for my calling for me this Sunday. The calling is in the nursery.
Mm.
Now, nursery age kids, if I'm correct, is 18 months to 3 years, right?
Mm.
And so I was asked to fill in. Now, I teach Sunday school, the adult Sunday school, and that's
every
typically
week?
No, every other week.
Okay,
but I don't teach next Sunday. So the question was, hey, can you do this?
Question is, do I want to do this?
Well, and so I thought about it, and I'm like, well, I don't want to turn down callings because I kind of jump on that don't turn down a calling bandwagon. But the other thing is, this person is a dear friend of mine and has done a lot for me. And so where I know she's kind of in, you know, in some plight trying to find someone to take over for her because she's going to be in Florida with her husband and kids.
What's her ethnic background?
She's vague. I'm not really sure.
It's fine. Doesn't matter.
It's kind of ambiguous.
It's fine.
Anyway, so it's 2 hours of nursery.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, what I don't know about nursery is what they do, because I've never done the nursery.
You know, she probably could tell you.
Nap time, poop time.
But then that was the other thing, and my wife was the first one to point it out. Do you change children? in nursery?
No, you do not, unless they are your own.
Okay. That's good, because because even like if I were to do it, I would figure a way through it. But like, I just feel so inappropriate even around like nieces and nephews when they're being changed. Like, that to me is so uncomfortable. And those are family members. I cannot handle it. It makes sense to me that the church would say, don't change kids. But I don't know. I've never done it before.
Yeah.
Singles ward for a long time. This ward, only done adult callings.
Richie, you can do it. Just try.
Well, I'm thinking about a try nursery club. They meet once a month. And all you do is actually try and get on a bike and then try and get off of it.
That's a good
club.
Yeah, do they have a convention for it?
Yeah. It's every other weekend in Las Vegas.
In Vegas? Good. I can't wait.
Fun.
So, if you haven't been able to catch it, you're dumb. It's Janae that asked me to do it. So I am going to do it for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'll be honest with you that 75% of it is so that I can talk about being in the nursery.
Okay.
Just do singing time with them.
Wait a minute.
There's like 100 people in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like 100 liters.
So basically you're babysitting for like four kids or something.
In nursery, right? I'm not going to be alone with these kids.
Oh, gosh, no, of course. I wouldn't send you in there and feed you to the wolves.
I think it feels like it anyway.
The tiny, precious wolves.
But,
Richie, you're in charge of the cookies.
But I'm going to do it. It'll be this Sunday, so I'll talk about it next week about my experience in nursery.
I'll run down the whole thing for you. I'll run down the whole process, what you'll be doing, what will be expected of you.
No diapers.
It'll be totally fine. Not at all.
Let's take a break. We'll come back in the second half with actual articles of news.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Are you running Windows 8 or 10 and annoyed as heck with the start screen with all those giant, unfamiliar, obnoxious tiles that confuse the heck out of you? Do you want your computer to feel like good old Windows 7 again, where it was simple and easy to use? Well, I'm going to fix that problem for you for free. Bring in your desktop or laptop PC, no matter what brand it is, running Windows 8 or 10 into any PC Laptops location, and I'll give you a 100% free program that will make your computer run as easy as pie again. There are no strings attached. It's 100% free, so you have nothing to lose. Why are we doing this for free? Because we want to impress you so much that one day you might come back and buy a computer from us. Run into any PC Laptops location right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. PC Laptops, we love you.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, and let's go ahead and hit some Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
You can't lose. Hey.
Best song.
So I brought up something here. This is for the knowledge of those in the hall. Our friend from London last week emailed us, and Richie had nothing to give him because he didn't do his research.
Nothing to give him.
Yeah, he's all like, I was wondering how many listeners you have. I was wondering this. You're like,
oh, sure.
Millions all everywhere.
Yeah, you didn't even care. You just read the email.
No, I care plenty.
So, Brandt, who was on the hall the other day,
does the Mormon News Report.
Rob, I think you need to do this whole thing in your best British accent.
Right, just for you.
I think
he really appreciated it.
He'll be insulted. Exactly. So he gave us the numbers for the Cultural Hall site views.
The German Cultural Hall.
We get the
cultural
site Heils? Views.
Yeah.
We get the site views, and then we also got downloads for the actual podcast show. But it'd be the podcast that we're talking about.
If you're planning on sharing the specific numbers, I prefer not to share the specific numbers.
Why not?
I can tell you why, but maybe not.
Well, I can say we peak sometimes around 60,000
sure.
downloads.
A month.
A month. That's at our peak. I would say on average, we're probably getting around 40, mm-hmm. 40 to 30. So if you're wondering who's all in the hall, we probably around, you know, people who are familiar with it, you know. And I think the best way to know is actually look at our Facebook and see who all likes it. But we actually get around 40 to 40,000 downloads. That may not be unique or one person. They might do it twice
but
or whatever.
But take the opportunity and share it is another part of it as well.
Exactly. And so there's a lot of that. And then our website views go high up in different months and others because of blogs.
Yeah.
And different breaking news that we break. Like Elizabeth Smart not being pregnant.
She was pregnant.
I know she was.
And we broke it. Sort of. Unconfirmed.
Okay. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with it.
Sorry
with
that it. I let the air out of that a little bit. I'll tell you why I don't like to share specifics later.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of just sort of dummy stories here.
Tell okay. us. Share them.
And by dummy stories, I don't mean to downplay them, but they're just kind of like a, hey, did you know this is going on? Isn't that interesting? An old LDS church tithing granary
mm-hmm.
could
Dumb.
Soon disappear, thank you, from a small Cache County town if supporters can't find a new home for it. This is up in Cache Valley. The building is at least 110 years old. However, Goody... That's Elaine Godfrey Goody, captain of the local Daughters of the Utah Pioneers, says that there is speculation that it could be more than 140 years old. The land where it has always rested is now up for sale, meaning that its future is threatened. The Daughters of the Utah Pioneers have petitioned the town council to place the granary in the middle of the town square, gathering hundreds of signatures. We visited every home and figured that we got around 98% in favor. But the town council denied the request in a meeting on Wednesday. Mayor Kendon Godfrey told KSL there's very little town-owned land left and they could need it for future growth. Members of the Daughters of the Utah Pioneers sell and now ask for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for some church-owned land so they can place that granary there.
How do you just relocate an entire granary?
You pick it up. It's not very big. It's old-timey granary.
Well, so it's just a little building?
It's like a little
it's
building.
Like a big, are there like silos and...
Yeah, like nowadays, granaries are huge. But old-timey granaries are just like little buildings.
Oh. Well, they could like relocate
it's like
it to
homes.
Disney World.
Like now homes are big, but back in the day, people lived in their means. And all in the same room in a log cabin. No?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
After serving a missionary for a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the Czech Republic for 25 months, one young man surprised his mother... And his reaction was caught on film. Did you guys see this? You can see it at theculturalhall.com. Elder Peterson returned August 27th, which just so happened to be the day after his mom's birthday.
What?
And was greeted by friends and some family members at the Salt Lake City International Airport. Well, his mother, who had been told, are you guys ready for this?
We're having your party at the airport.
He would return September 3rd. She went to dinner with her husband. Upon returning from dinner, Elder Peterson's mother, Lori, was surprised to find that friends and family were waiting at her house to wish her a belated happy birthday.
Surprise!
And after the group sang happy birthday, Elder Peterson's father told his wife that they had one more present for her.
And he popped out of the cake!
Lori Peterson was then blindfolded while Elder Peterson made his way into the room. The blindfold was removed.
And oh then God.
They caught it on video, and you can see it in the cultural
hall. Oh my gosh, so
precious.
Cute.
Maybe you should try something like this, Mama Jenny. Ben Garrett, who is 30 years old and never been married, is an LDS bachelor.
Gosh.
Well, he's had several
he's
girlfriends.
So old.
In the
past. He's 30. Oh my gosh.
30?
He's had several girlfriends in the past, but he's still on the lookout for Mrs. Wright. In fact, maybe we could set you up to be one of Ben's 31 blind dates.
No.
What? Oh.
With no probable girlfriend in sight and his 30th birthday coming up on September 26th.
Oh, he's not even 30. He's 29.
No, I'm sorry. He is 30. He'll be 31, and that's when you move wards.
What's his name? Ben?
Ben Garrett.
Where is he from?
He is from... Hold on. Maybe it'll be in here. On August 26th, Garrett began going out on one date a day and will continue to do so for 31 days. To make things even more interesting, each of these dates are with women he doesn't know. And he'll spend $31 or less on each of them.
Oh, that's just the Mormon way, isn't
Which,
it?
Which, if you'll think about it, that's a lot of money.
Well, yeah, especially if he's going to be doing all that.
$30.
Good for you.
Garrett hasn't seen any pictures or even known the last names of his dates before meeting them. Try and keep your size to yourself. All texts and emails from interested women are being screened by me, that is, his sister. Yeah. Besides setting up these dates, I'm planning the activities and figuring out basic logistics. All Garrett gets before each date is a woman's first name, the meeting address, not mating address, that's a whole different thing, and some basic information and her phone number.
And this was in the what?
This article is from the Deseret News, but
so when they send a press release,
but this sister, Ben Garrett's sister, is just following the blog of LDS writer Tamara Dorica Johnson, who in 2009 revitalized her dating life by producing her own 31 dates in 31 days.
Oh, let me see a picture.
How are all of these women going to look past his gray hair? And
I found him. I found him on Facebook.
Because he's so
he'll
old.
End up spending $961. Oh, you throw in gas money as he needs to travel across Utah's Wasatch Front.
He's one of you. He's a ginger.
Let me see this.
He's a native of Fruit Heights. He grew up in the strong LDS home, the fourth of six children. He strayed when he was a teenager. He didn't go on a mission. He was inactive for a decade. It wasn't until a few years ago that he regained his testimony and changed his life. And now Garrett wants to date other LDS women who share his beliefs.
Do we all see what's happening right here?
No, I don't. Garrett's last date will take place on September 25th, the day before his 31st birthday. Get ready to look up this website, Rob. Well, several of his blind dates have already been lined up. Not all the dates. Here we go. Not all the dates are full. To learn more about Garrett or to follow along as the 31 dates are documented, you know what you should do?
What should I do?
You should get all your kids.
What if he really connects with, like, date number 5?
Well,
I would just, like, cancel
and for
the rest
of the month, he's like, just I can't stop thinking about 5.
Yeah. Get all your kids together.
And let what's the website? What's the website?
www.dateben.blogspot.com.
Date Ben.
I bet Ben is going to have a grand old time. And that's really sweet of his sister.
And then this, and then we'll get to your story, Rob. Remember we talked to you about the bishop who was assaulted, right?
No.
Yes.
He was assaulted. He was attacked, and his Mazda CX-5 sports car was stolen as he opened the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Clopton Crescent in Chelmsleywood on Sunday, August 16th. The family of the father of two say that following hit this time on the high dependency unit at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, which is like intensive care, Bishop Charmbury, age 45, was rushed to the Birmingham Hospital. Not Birmingham, because it's in England.
Birmingham
Hospital and placed in an induced coma after he was found lying in the road near the church by a passerby who had heard a loud bang. He's getting stronger and making progress every day in the hospital. We're hopeful that he will be up and about soon. He's overwhelmed and deeply touched by all the good wishes and messages that he has received. He's also appreciative of the prayers that have been said on his behalf. Police investigating the attack arrested a 32-year-old man on suspicion of robbery.
All right, I'm here.
All right, do it.
He's like on date 12 already.
Yeah.
I'm looking him up. I'm trying to find a contender here. Let's see if number 5 actually was. Ooh, you might like number 5. Guess where they went on their date.
Yeah, where'd they go?
Music and the spoken word.
They're up.
Oh,
see?
Day 5 was a
Maybe
Sunday?
That was
there
me.
There you go.
You don't even know. Maybe
you don't even
know.
No,
you
know
it's me because I wrote all about it.
And guess what? He didn't even have to spend $31. Probably just gas money.
Day 21, he's going to a DJ convention.
probably just $2 for parking across the street.
Shoot. So it's datewithben.blogspot.com. Dateben.
Yeah.
I hope they go on a bike ride.
And crash that shoulder or that elbow.
No, I'll just let him know. Hey, avoid this massive construction hole right here.
Oh, on date 10, they went to Liberty Park in Tracy Avery and then went to the DI and bought outfits.
Oh, ew.
I mean, awesome.
I mean, good for dateben.blogspot.com.
Let me see. I want to see these girls.
Are they cute? Be judgmental.
Let's rate them from 1 to 10. Yeah.
Which one was the hottest? I'm actually done with dateben.blogspot.com. What do you have, Jenny?
I have Elder Holland visited Asia. Delivers messages of hope, faith, and reassurance to the Asia area. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles delivered messages of... Okay, I just said that. To several thousand Latter-day Saints as he addressed member meetings in Thailand, Vietnam, and Cambodia, August 15th through 23rd. Talks about... He noted that at times members in more remote places such as parts of Southeast Asia might feel lonely inasmuch as there are not many Latter-day Saints in the region. However, in such a gatherings, they can see that they are they're part of a larger, wonderful, growing church. He gave members in Thailand two tasks. One, help the church grow by introducing their friends to the missionaries. And two, plan and prepare to embrace the temple, to have that beautiful house of the Lord become a veritable beacon in this land. And then he told them the responsibilities of having a temple. Part of his trip included two significant stops, midweek stops, first in Vietnam and later in, what is this? I don't even know what this place is. Timor-Leste? I don't even know that. I've never seen that in my life. Anyway, Vietnam is the setting for impressive new beginnings for the church. Elder Holland spoke to filled-to-capacity member meetings in the Hanoi branch and in the Ho Chi Minh City branches. Hanoi government meetings included the vice chairman of Vietnam's National Assembly and the chairman of Vietnam's Government Committee for Religious Affairs. In this 20th anniversary year of Vietnam-U.S. diplomatic relations, both commended the church for teaching its members to be good parents and good citizens, and noted LDS and Vietnamese traditional values have much in common, and encouraged Elder Holland in his declaration that we as Latter-day Saints are in Vietnam to stay and to grow.
So, Cultural Hall of Trivia for you.
Mm-hmm.
First missionaries into Vietnam after the Vietnam War? Mm-hmm. My grandparents.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's right.
They weren't able to teach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother taught English and my grandfather taught music, and they did Handel's Messiah. Pretty rad.
That is pretty rad.
Yeah. How did they handle it?
Put them.
That's cool.
They handled it well.
All right.
Or handled it well.
Boom! Yes, they handled it well.
Okay.
That's significant for me. My personal connection is just that my brother served a Vietnamese-speaking mission.
Cool. In Houston.
What?
Wow.
Really?
Well, yeah, because after the war, there were several refugees sponsored by, like, Southern Baptist churches and other.
Oh.
And so.
There you go.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. What do you got, Rob?
Not news. How it made it into the desert news, I don't know. Here's a crazy idea. Alex Boyer in the Book of Mormon musical.
Right.
Did you guys?
No way. I saw that article, too.
It's like, this guy's like, I don't know if he's a contributor for the Deseret News, but it made it in here. It's basically him just saying, wouldn't it be awesome if Alex Boyer recorded a Broadway CD and it included I Believe?
Yeah. Brilliant. Let's write that.
Done.
Yep.
Alex Boyer in Saturday's Warrior.
Yeah. Yes,
he plays the very beginning, like the matronly mother. They made it
he's
male,
like,
role.
He's kind of like,
okay,
creator or something like that, or like.
Well, you've not seen it. I'm sitting
no,
here with people that haven't seen it.
Yeah,
you
but
haven't
not
seen
ever.
It for a
I haven't
time
seen it, but either. I remember seeing that. Anyway, that's all this article says is, wouldn't that be interesting cool? if he's saying that? I'm just like, how is this news? How is this in the Deseret
article?
News? And then did you guys talk about the BYU professors writing a book about the 100 most important events in Christian history?
No.
So this I found this interesting. You like lists.
I do.
So read this book. As a graduate student, Casey Paul Griffiths became fond of the book titled The 100 Most Important Events in Christian History. So he thought maybe there should be a book called The 100 Most Important Events in LDS History.
Hmm.
So Griffiths, a visiting professor, teamed up with Susan Easton Black and Mary Jane Woodger, an accomplished authors of the Department of Church History and Doctrine at BYU, the 100 most important events in Latter-day Saint history.
Cool.
And do you know what came in at number one?
First Vision.
No, it was the Hail Mary pass from Tanner Mangum to Mitch Matthews.
Praise to the Mangum.
I know that was talked about in the last articles of news, but
that's all right.
It was also number one ESPN top 10.
It was single-handedly the most important moment of church history.
I love that you just said praise to the Mangum.
Yeah.
Praise to the Mangum. We're communed with
Jehovah.
With his coach.
Richie T, folks.
I was going to say with his coach.
If you guys love.
And the thing about that song, it's a Scottish song, so it's not very, you know, it's just like.
Follow on. Follow on our Twitter. If you follow us at The Cultural Hall.
Yeah, we got a lot of Twitter run today. Is this Michael's doing?
Yeah, I sent him the idea today. It's hashtag songs for the new hymnal. Because there's rumor that they're going to do a new hymnal.
They're going to revise it.
What color will it be this time?
So it'll still be
maroon. Can I write that one then?
Because praise to the Mangum. It's got to
be maroon or a dark.
It is.
That's how I got the joke.
I don't want to see that burgundy. I don't like that.
No, me neither.
Let's look at the hashtag.
The blue, like powder, slate blue.
The slate blue, like the newer scripture.
Have you guys seen this compilation video of people's reactions to the catch?
Yeah, yes. I've seen some of that. Praise to the Mangum. There it is. YOLO, children of the Lord. Oh, dear.
YOLO, children of the Lord. My favorite is...
My faith is my swag. Who did that one? Was that Michael?
Hallelujah, the tantrum is over. Hallelujah, the tantrum is over.
Awake, ye saints, the meeting's over.
Anyway, there are a bunch there. Follow us.
As I slept in Elder's Quorum.
At the Cultural Hall. And
forgive my snores, or Lord.
Songs for the new hymnal. Okay, a couple other things, and let's be done with this thing. You talked about the 100 most important moments. There is an article, and I won't share this, but it is interesting to know these things. If you're a list guy or gal like myself, it's the 15 lesser known but very important events in LDS church history. Things that sometimes get overlooked. I'll give you, for example... the mission of the 12 apostles to Great Britain, and then another one, Brigham Young reorganizing the LDS Church in 1877. So do you even know what that's about? No, you don't. Go look it up at theculturalhall.com. There's a link to it there.
And I do have one more story when you're ready for it.
Go that one.
This one? Okay. Mm-hmm. LDS Charities gives $1 million humanitarian effort for Syrian refugees. We've talked about this before, about how the church just kind of quietly gives, and a lot of people aren't aware of it. With tens of thousands of ill-prepared refugees fleeing war-torn Syria in search of peace and protection across the border in Jordan, LDS Charities has answered the Jordanian government's call for help with more than $1 million in humanitarian aid already provided or in the works during the next few months. A press release issued late Thursday indicated that LDS Charities, a non-governmental organization sponsored by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has made a substantial commitment to support efforts by the Jordanian government and other charitable partners to provide relief to the thousands of Syrians displaced from their homeland. The humanitarian contribution to date has been $590,000 in supplies, with another $588,000 set to be spent during the coming months.
There's a lot of people who say that we don't talk enough about what the church does for people. So that's a huge
thing. Yeah. And this is part of, this is like what I write about for my day job. So I'm really excited to have this.
You have a day job?
Oh, I have so many day jobs.
How many day jobs do you have?
Four.
Why don't you marry him?
Maybe I will. Why don't you marry an ice cream sandwich? You're welcome, Brant.
Sounds good. Do you have any ice cream sandwiches?
Okay. Actually, let me go mine, then I'll go yours, then we'll do this last one to wrap us up.
Okay.
You guys know who Zach Sorensen is?
No.
He's an Eagle Scout.
Brother Sorensen. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
He's a student at Stanford University.
Oh, wow.
He studies public policy and computer science. He's Mormon.
Yeah.
He's gay.
Oh.
After the Boy Scouts of America decided this past July to allow LGBT people to be scout leaders, the Mormon church went,
and he went, hooray!
Some thought the church, which sponsors a third of all Boy Scout troops in the country, would leave scouting.
Only a third?
Yep.
That surprises me.
I thought it would be more, too. In August, Sorensen wrote an article in the Slate magazine urging the Mormon church not to disassociate itself from the Boy Scouts. Perhaps because of this article, or because of other forces, the church announced a week later that it would continue to go along with the scouts' new, somewhat inclusive policy. That policy, though, still allows individual troops to discriminate according to their beliefs. Sorensen isn't worried about that. He thinks it's just a matter of time and a matter of people within the church getting to know LGBT people. He says, quote, "I know the Boy Scouts and the Mormon Church are both old, large institutions that take a long time to change," Sorensen said. He does worry about the possibility of the LDS Church leaving scouting altogether. A statement issued by the church ended with the following sentence. "With equal concern for the substantial number of youth who live outside the United States and Canada, the church will continue to evaluate and refine program options that better meet its global needs." While Sorensen says scouting would suffer for the loss of such a large patron as the Mormon church, he also points out that the Boy Scouts only serve, well, boys, and that his sisters were very jealous of he and his brother as they tramped off camping and hiking. You can read the entire statement from the church at theculturalhall.com. But he'd be an interesting guy to talk to, and maybe a future guest.
I would love to.
All right, do your story. Let's do it.
So this is courtesy of Brant. He's done some investigative journalism, believe it or not. which I find really fascinating, exclusive to the Mormon News Report. If you're not getting the Mormon News Report, you can subscribe to it. You can also see it on our Facebook page, and it's also on the culturalhallpodcast.com. He talked about a memorandum that went out from the LDS Church Educational Systems to seminary and institute teachers regarding a greater tomorrow. Regarding a book called A Greater Tomorrow, My Journey Beyond the Veil by Julie Rowe. And the reason this was one of the books that was singled out is the memorandum was about avoid teaching spurious material. Would that be the right way to say that?
Spurious.
I have never seen that word before. Like spur.
Please.
Spurious material.
Spurious.
And in the memorandum, it says we should constantly remind ourselves, this is from the church to the seminaries and institutes, we should constantly remind ourselves of the importance of teaching students the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in the standard works of the words of the prophet by teaching from approved sources, which include the S&I curriculum material. Which
Seminaries and institutes.
The Spirit will be able to touch the hearts of the children and strengthen them both in the family and testimony. And so I imagine this is a maybe reaction to some books that are out there that are not necessarily doctrine. And maybe things are happening out there. Maybe it has started because some other people were actually talking about these things. But this particular book, A Greater Tomorrow, My Journey Beyond the Veil by Julie Rowe, in it, also in the memorandum, it says, although Sister Rowe is an active member of the church, her book is not endorsed by the church and should not be recommended to students or used as a resource to teaching them. The experiences she shares, her own personal experiences, do not necessarily reflect the church. What is in her book? Let's talk a little bit about it. In 2004, Julie Rowe was a happy wife and mother. Then her health took a turn for the worse. While in a weakened state, her spirit left her body and entered the spirit world. An ancestor named John greeted her and showed her many wonderful places there. He also allowed her to read from the Book of Life, which showed her a panorama of the earth's past and present and future. Julie saw the lives of many historical figures, Adam and Eve, Enoch and Noah, Moses, and Richie T. She witnessed the Savior's mortal life, including the crucifixion and resurrection. She also saw the restoration. She is now talking about, she is also a doomsdayer. So I think in this she's talking about what's going to be happening, the calamities of the earth and those type of things. So I guess they singled out her book for some reason.
Well, there's a faction of folks within the church who really think that before the end of 2015 is going to be the end of the world.
There's a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
And apparently there's this
your kids?
They've talked about it. I don't know where they heard it from, but one of my kids is in seminary. I don't know if maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah, this is so odd to me. Why is this coming out right now? And who are these people? But people say these things almost every year. But not necessarily within the church. It's usually people with outside the church that are doing these things. And if you don't count the Parowan prophet.
Yeah. Everyone knows it's Valentine's Day. Yeah. What year? This year. Yeah. Nobody?
No.
Pretty veiled. Not great. February 4th. Okay. Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Valentine's Day. Oh, what year?
This year.
Oh. All right. You've got one, and then let's be done.
But okay. I don't know. I just find that interesting. Here's the other part of the memorandum. It says, publication caution. A Greater Tomorrow was the one. Rumor. And then they have rumors listed.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this rumor. Sister missionary quote attributed to President Hinckley about sister missionary serving.
Sure.
And it wasn't really him that said it. Kind of like the quote attributed to Elder Packer. With, you know, that... That quote where
the generals in the armies in heaven, that
yeah,
one, that's
yeah.
my favorite.
When
you go to heaven, everybody will know that you are part of the generation of whatever. The rumor missionaries being called to China.
Right.
They talk about that rumor, increased persecution to the church if Mitt Romney wins Republican nomination. Rumor, Rome, Italy temple. Rumor, statements on self-reliance and food storage. Rumor, no foundation to China rumor. Rumor, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, England tour cancellation.
Oh.
Rumor, Utah National Guard unit in Iraq. So, I mean, these are fascinating rumors. And so...
I'd like to... You know what we should do? Send me just specifically the rumors, and we'll do a rumor episode.
That'd
where it comes
fun.
From and what the truth is.
Yes.
We'll get... what's his bucket on it? Mormon myths.
Guy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, Brant uncovered all this. He found all this stuff. It's great. Good for you, Brant.
All right, you can go to theculturalhall.com and find a link to this. We're talking about the addiction videos.
About a month ago, I got an email in my inbox from Bonneville Communications with a teaser about the upcoming, now currently released, addiction recovery videos. I forgot to mention it in one Articles of News. I forgot to mention it in the next Articles of News. I mentioned it last week in Articles of News.
Flippantly.
Like, blah, yeah, these are really emotional and great. And then this week, I began to watch them. And one evening, it was right when my kids were getting ready to go to bed, I started with the first one.
There are 12 videos, and it's about each of the steps of the addiction recovery process.
Yeah, there's an addiction recovery program that the church has it's been in existence for a while now. I don't know exactly how long, but it's a 12-step, kind of similar, I think, to AA, except
yeah, it's
with,
based off of it, sort of.
But with more of an eternal perspective, gospel-based.
And they say God and Heavenly Father as opposed to
higher power.
Right.
So, but I sat down to watch the first one, and I broke down. One of my friends, who is also an actress locally, had posted a link to a video that she was in. And I know that in her life, she has experience with one of her family members who has an addiction that is not the addiction that is represented in the video in which she acts. But she just kind of bore her testimony about what a special experience it was to be a part of this program, a part of this video, for something that hits so closely to home. But the format of these videos is something that's new and innovative. Well, maybe not innovative, but I think more sincere. I think it's a big high five to the church for doing it this way. It's not a reenactment. The people who are acting are not recreating dialogue based on story. They are acting, but the story being told is being told by the people whose stories are being reported with voiceovers. But you also see their faces as they're telling their stories. And the very first one happens to be a friend of mine. And I lost it. I watched the entire thing, but it was a couple of days before I could rewatch it or watch any others. And they are heavy. I mean, it's kind of, some people I know have been binge watching them, like, oh, just sit down and watch all 12. But I think I've only gotten to video 4 or 5. Please go watch these. This is important. I think the more that we are honest with what's going on with our struggles, the more we can relate to one another and help one another, yeah, and also help each other understand that the atonement is something not to be ashamed of having to use, but something that we all have to use all the time. And that's okay. That's what it's for. That's what we're doing. I applaud everyone involved in these addiction recovery videos. Well done. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for sharing your story. You are helping countless people.
Just to recap at the end, the 12 videos talk about addictions to drugs, alcohol, which you could probably assume, right? There would be some of those.
Sure.
But also food and also sex.
What? They address food?
Food addictions.
They
wow.
do? Yes. Oh.
And sex. And it even goes so far as to actually depict scenes of drug abuse within the videos. I like this, and then we'll close on this. This is from the...
It's on the MormonChannel.org.
Huffington Post is where this article is from. It says, no matter who you are, our lives are, in one way or another, touched by someone who is struggling with an addiction. Religious or not, I encourage you to watch these videos because I think that they can offer valuable hope and perspective for anyone who is struggling to move forward. We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
We hope that those who couldn't get a date this week will be able to get a date next week.
We hope that you can wisely use your funds and spend at least $31 or less on that date.
And please bless Janae that she'll be able to ride around her house in safety when the time comes.
In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you.
On the back row.
Of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.